money. Tov li toras picha me alfei zahav v'chesef. Okay, very nice to see everybody. There is food available after the shiur. I'd like to put one person in charge of that if you guys want food. There's food available after the shiur, so I'll try to talk to you about it afterwards. So the topic that I wanted to speak about is one that I think is on a lot of people's minds. That's what I always like to try to talk about, a topic that's on a lot of people's minds. And I titled what I want to talk about a Torah perspective on the election of Donald Trump as America's 45th president. And the first thing that came to my mind when thinking about this is, what's the Jewish conception of leadership, of Malchus? What does the Torah conceive of somebody who is a leader? Now, the Torah understands that it's very easy for a leader to fall into the trap of arrogance, of hubris. The Torah understands that. That's why the Torah writes Beferish, that even though every Jew has to write one Sefer Torah, a king has to write one Sefer Torah that he keeps in his base kenuzav, in his storehouse, but the king has to write another Sefer Torah that goes with him wherever he is, v'kara bo kol yimei chayav, and the Torah says, levilti rum levavo me'achav, so that the king should realize by reading the Torah, by staying connected to spiritual things, to realize that he shouldn't become arrogant in the position of kingship. And someone who by many of his actions seems to display a lot of arrogance is not what the Jewish conception of a leader or a ruler is. As a matter of fact, the leader of the Jewish people throughout the desert, Moshe Rabbeinu, was referred to by the Torah as Vahayish Moshe Anav Ma'od Mikol Adam Asher Pnei Adam. The whole idea of an Adam, the whole definition of Adam, the Shlach HaKadosh writes that Adam is Rashi Tevos, Avraham, David, and Moshe, the three humble leaders. Avraham, we're going to read about in this week's parasha, the humble leader of the Jewish people. Avraham said about himself, Vanochi Afar Va'efer. David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, David HaMelech is the epitome of Jewish kingship. You have to be from the tribe of David to be a legitimate Jewish king from Malchus Beis David. And what does it say about David? David said, Anochi Tolas V'lo Ish. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah says about him, Va'ish Moshe Anav. The whole idea of an Adam, says the Shla. The whole ultimate expression of Adam is somebody who's humble, humility. And certainly, a king. Chazal say that we're learning the Gemara Bracha. So if you look at the Gemara on Daf Dalet, the Gemara says about David HaMelech that anytime, David HaMelech was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, but anytime somebody asked him a Shaila, he would always ask Mephibosheth. He would ask his Rebbe. He didn't want to be so brazen to Paskin Shaila on his own. He knew a lot, he knew a ton, but he would always ask his Rebbe. And he would even embarrass himself, because a lot of times his Rebbe would say, you know, you don't know this, and this is wrong, and that's wrong. People are just Paskin on their own. They don't ask the Rebbe, so they're wrong. Nobody knows they're wrong. But he would embarrass himself. He would ask his Rebbe, and his Rebbe would say, no, you got this wrong, you got that wrong. And you look at the Gemara over there on Daf Dalet, and presumably David HaMelech, he came from very humble beginnings. David HaMelech, you know, he was a product of Rus and Boaz. Rus converted. She didn't have such good yichas. She converted, and if you go back, Moav came from the union of Lot and one of his daughters. That's what Chazal say, David HaMelech. And David HaMelech was like he was the runt. He was like when Shmuel came to choose which of Yishai's sons was going to be the king. So you look, read the Navi. So all the other older brothers, they thought it was going to be them. They were the warriors. They were the strong ones. David was the shepherd. He was tending the sheep in the back. He was the Nechba al HaKelim. You know, when it came to fighting Goliath, they said, you little guy, you're going to go fight Goliath. But apparently, and that's why a lot of Jewish leaders were shepherds. David HaMelech was a shepherd. Moshe Rabbeinu was a shepherd. Because a shepherd is somebody who cares about every sheep and takes care of every person, is going to really care about the little people. The danger with having people who are arrogant people is that, and this was an accusation that was leveled against our president, our president-elect, the accusation that was someone who has been in a certain class, you know, their whole lives and acts with a certain degree of chutzpah, you know, strength, very strong opinions. So is such a person really going to be capable of caring about every person, even the people in his status. David HaMelech was known that he never forgot his humble beginnings. The Gemara says that he minted coins. David HaMelech, on one side of the coins was a symbol of the Malucha, and on the other side was a stick and a knapsack. He always remembered his humble beginnings. So that's certainly one concern. Although, if you saw President-elect Trump's acceptance speech, so many people commented that in his acceptance speech he changed his tone a little bit. He was much more conciliatory, much more praiseworthy, whereas during the campaign he couldn't find even a half a positive word to say about his opponent, but he was much more conciliatory. And gave some praise even out and claimed that he was going to be the president of all American people. He talked about all races. He talked about all people. We'll get to that in a second about what that could mean going forward. But certainly, and it's interesting that despite the fact that the president comes from certainly the highest, one of the wealthiest people in the world, forget about in America, but it's interesting that the people who really brought him to power were not the wealthy class, actually the middle class. If you read what went on, it was really the middle class people who felt that they weren't getting enough. It's such an interesting dynamic. It's really more of a political question, not so much of a Torah question, but from a Torah point of view, the point that I'm trying to make is that, and again, that could just be, unfortunately, people who are unhappy, who feel like they're not getting enough, somebody who just comes and yells that everything's bad and this is terrible, everything's terrible, even if there's a question about what his plan is to make it better for everybody. But some people just like people who yell and scream and say everything's bad. But this is very important for a ruler, to be humble. That's the Torah perspective. Second thing that really came to mind that we have to really think about very, very carefully is how you disagree with somebody. And unfortunately, we have witnessed over the last 2 years not the Torah's way of disagreeing with people. It's okay to have disagreements. We are the people of disagreements. Any Gemara you open up, it's machlokas. Every single Mishnah is a machlokas. We have loads of disagreements. But when Tanaim and Amoraim would argue with each other, there was a respect. There was a respect. When the Rishonim argue with each other, sometimes they get a little sharp. But again, that was arguing over Torah. We have to learn how to disagree with respect. Just because you're running for office, it doesn't give a person the right to totally berate the other person to the ground, to totally violate Isurim of Onas Devarim. You can disagree with somebody's ideas and policies, but when you disagree with people, when you put down people, that's never okay in civil discourse, and I fear that when we're exposed so much to people belittling other people, and one of the reasons for this is of course because we're in the age of social media where everybody gets to comment whatever they want and they can just bash, and we just read all these comments of people bashing people, and we read candidates bashing each other, and we become accustomed to that form of speech and that form of interacting with people. I was talking to a parent this week, and this parent basically shared with me that one of the things that she's a balas tshuva, and one of the things that sent her away from Yiddishkeit is that she feels that people judge her and people look down on her and people are always telling her, this is no good and that's no good and you're no good for this and that, and she was saying that even from rabbis she felt really put down and that people are always telling her she's not good enough. And this is a terrible way of arguing with people. I mean, if you really have something to say, so argue with the ideas, argue with the thoughts. We have to respect. Just because somebody has a different view than you doesn't mean you can't respect the person, respect the human being, Jew or non-Jew, whoever you're disagreeing with. And I think that one of the concerns is that when certain people are so headstrong in their opinions, they totally belittle anybody who doesn't share their views. That's a very dangerous kind of situation. And you know, there are accusations of racism. I'm going to get to that in a second, but you know, racism has no place in Yiddishkeit. We believe that people of all color, all races, are Yitzir Kapov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the same way that anybody else is. And you know, I said in the acceptance speech, he said he wants to embrace all races. There were a lot of accusations, a lot of people who were supporters, and you know, he didn't really do a good job of putting down those people who breed hate. And that's definitely a concern. And the other piece of it related to this is that one of the things that we saw over the last 3 years, you see the tremendous power of negative speech, the corrosive power of negative speech. And you know, the media is only concerned about the negative. The media is only concerned about negative. If certain people in the if one day one of the candidates would wake up and do a tremendous chesed and help people out, which I'm sure the candidates do very often, they go, it doesn't make the news. You don't hear about that. Nobody's talking about the chasadim that people do. Nobody knows people in private. That's another part of this. You know, everyone thinks that you know everybody. You know because the media highlights for you and stresses for you certain negative parts because that's what sells. That's what everybody wants to know. The media is not stressing the positive points of people. Do we really know these people? Do we really know the president-elect of the United States? Can anyone here say that we really know? We know what the media decides to highlight. We still have a commandment also to judge people akav schus. That gets lost, I think, a lot of times, that we just get bombarded by a lot of negative. We don't really know the people. We don't know. You know, a lot of times, if you have a friend that you know from elementary school or high school, you have a friend. And other people know him as one way, but you know him on the inside. You know him. You know that there's a soft side to that person. There's a sensitive side. And so we have to be very careful about using words to put people down. And the words have a tremendously corrosive power. Our religion puts a tremendous emphasis on words. And we have to be very careful what we type on the internet, what we write, what we comment on, how we comment on. Do we put people down? How do we say it? And in the world of social media, we have to be very, very careful about that. I think this campaign, forget about this campaign, I mean, even the local campaigns here, I'm Amish, every day I open up the mail with some guys just trashing some people, just saying this guy's terrible and this guy's terrible and this guy's the same thing every single day. I got to open up the mail. I like, okay, I got it already. You sent me he's terrible 10 times already. Like any guy who's going to, for me, I mean, I don't know, for me, if you, any candidate who spends his time just destroying the other candidate, I'm not going to vote for that person. Say something about your own platform. If you think you're worthy of something, say something about what you're, don't just keep on trashing the other person. So that's a terrible, in my mind, a very, very terrible thing. There was a ton of pritzos in this campaign. There was a ton of people talking about pritzos. That's a very scary thing that, you know, that the president-elect is accused of being pirates. Having disgusting behavior with women. Again, I'm not the judge and the jury, but that's obviously a horrible thing, and people who are powerful people, you know, I think the Torah lesson there is you have to be very careful when you're in a position of authority, in your position of power. You're just a very wealthy person, and certainly when you're president of the United States, you know, we certainly know, put it this way, if in truth any of those accusations were in fact true, he's certainly not the only president of the United States that was involved in pritzos. Unfortunately, when you're in a powerful position, that's what the Torah says also about a king. The Torah says, right, you can't have too many wives, pen yaser levavo. You have to be very, very careful. But it is scary. It is scary that the leadership, people in leadership positions, you know, it's so hard to find a honest and clean, a person with appropriate values. I think in his introduction, so the vice president-elect, I think he said, I'm humbled to be here. So you know, maybe there was a little bit of that, but pritzos is certainly something that a ruler has to watch out for, and that we have to be careful that we're not espousing those values. Sheker, my gosh, there was a ton of sheker. It's almost like there's so much sheker, there's so much people just spewing forth whatever they want to say. There's so much sheker. We believe Chosama Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, MS, a person has to be so careful. The Gemara talks about Hein Shalcha Tzedek, when you say yes, how important being absolutely honest about every single thing a person says is. And again, when you have people vying for leadership position being dishonest and not saying truths, that's a very dangerous situation. Also, we have to be so careful about that. We have so many halachos that deal with the importance of truth. You look at the Mesillas Yesharim and Nikias, he talks about all the things, how important it is when you're in business, when we've spoken about it so many times, how every word that a person says has to be truthful. And there's a whole, accusations of a lot of falsehood that was said. So is it all bad? So there's a lot to be concerned about. There's a lot to be concerned about from a Torah point of view. I believe there's a tremendous amount to be concerned about. However, I also want, I don't want to just end on a negative. I want to say some couple of positive things, just a few. I want to close with four positive things. I have 4 minutes, so we'll try to do 1 minute each. There is, I think, one strong positive. It's not going to be the positive that people think. I think one strong positive is that on the flip side, there might be hubris, there might be some arrogance there, but there's also someone who's not afraid to say what he really thinks. That could sometimes be a positive, Mida, because a lot of people have to be politically correct and everything. The truth is that it's something that I'm a little bit jealous of our president-elect. I don't always have the guts to say what I'm really thinking to people. And sometimes people need to hear the truth. They need to hear what's real. They don't have to dodge around and make sure that everybody's going to be 100% happy with exactly what you say. There is something positive about that, being able to say what you really believe and not being afraid of what people are going to say about you. And I think that's probably actually an attribute that people saw positively in our president-elect. I think that attracted certain people who were unhappy with people beating around the bush and always just saying what people want to hear. I once saw a book that a palliative nurse who deals with people to death and dying say that the five regrets people have most before they die. She wrote a book about all the people she interviewed on the deathbed, and one of the things was that I wish I hadn't lived my life based on what other people want me to do, but I had lived my life based on the way I really want it to be. And so when you have more money than the Rabbanu Shalom, so you don't really care what people have to say about you, so you're going to do what you think is right. Let's hope he knows what's right, and let's hope he is going to follow through on what he said he's going to do. So you have to have confidence in your position. And he wasn't afraid to challenge the establishment. That's the words that people say. He's not so much echad bepev, echad belev. He's, unfortunately, he says what it is. And the last three pieces, the pasuk says a lot of the rebbes were talking about. Pasuk says, even though every person has bechira chavshus, freedom of choice, someone who's in a position of leadership has more limited freedom of choice because lev malachim biyad Hashem. There's a pasuk that says lev malachim biyad Hashem, which means that when a person gets to be in such a position over there, it's no longer what he. This is why, all people are saying, I'm so upset, it's terrible, and I just gave you a few reasons why people are upset. I understand why people are upset, but at the end of the day, I wasn't so upset. Why wasn't I so upset? Because at the end of the day, we make our hishtadlos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, especially Lev Melachim B'Yad Hashem. We have to have bitachon and emunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, and we think that it's the United States that elected. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is involved in the world. He has a plan, he creates the thing the way it goes, and especially when it comes to kings. Lev malachim biyad Hashem. The heart of the kings is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A king doesn't have full free choice. A king is not acting on his own. A king is acting in the interests of what the Ribbono Shalom does. And Bechlal, the fact that it was so improbable, the whole way he became president was such a far-fetched possibility. Adarabba, that gives me more bitachon, because it seems clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pulling the strings and has some plan. We don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan is. It's so far-fetched that such a thing should be able to happen. So it seems like there's some other forces going on here. And I'll take your question once. There's two last points. the second to the last point is that I just b'mekra. In the morning, I have a seder. I learn Maseches Bava Kama. And the daf that I'm up to, some Rabbam and Beis, the Gemara tells the following story. That it's a longer story. It's going to be a short version. Basically, the Gemara says Rava asked his Rebbe Rav Yosef Akasha for 22 years. For 22 years, he couldn't answer the Kasha. Then he was appointed Rosh Hashiva, and as soon as he was Rosh Hashiva, he was able to answer the Kasha. He answered the Kasha. What's the pshat? What changed? 22 years, he couldn't answer the Kasha. LMI. When you become in a position of needing to help other people or to rule other people or to inspire other people or to lead and guide other people, sometimes you get bigger kochos than you had beforehand. And l'chor, that's maybe pshat in the Gemara of why when he became Rosh Hashiva, so all of a sudden he got a certain wisdom, he got a certain ability. Rabbi J.J. Schachter said it like this morning. He sent out something. He said it that, you know, Avram Avinu, we're going to read in the parsha, Avram Avinu, we all know he was in the Kibshana Eish. He broke all the idols. He discovered Hashem when he was 3 or when he was 40. Machlokas Rishonim. Why does the Torah not say anything about that? All those great stories. Why does the Torah not say why Hashem chose Avram? So many say, or Shachter suggests this, I think the Maharal says this also in a different way. Says the Torah wants to tell you what you were in the past doesn't matter before you get that call. Ayom Hashem al Avram, the Torah doesn't want to say that Hashem selected Avram because of X, Y, and Z about him. Because the Torah is not calling attention to his past before he became Avram Avinu. Let's see what you do now, once Hashem calls you up. We don't want to focus on your past. You might have had a great past, you might have had a terrible past. And that's why the Torah doesn't say how great Avram was, because every Jew who comes, you know, we all have skeletons in our closet. We all don't want people magnifying all the things in our closet. But once you get called to that call, the question is, what are you going to do with it now? So we hope and we daven that now that Donald Trump, whatever challenges and vices and issues he had in the past, now he's in this position. Chazal say all over the place that Moshe Rabbeinu had certain kochos in the schus of Klal Yisrael. In the schus of Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him certain kochos. So hopefully in the schus of being in this position of leader of the free world, hopefully he'll get certain new kochos and new abilities and to lead in the right way. And hopefully he'll see the responsibility, and through the responsibility, hopefully being in that position of leadership, that will adarab, give him the kochos that are necessary. And just the last thing I want to say is that, true to my own words, there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, have a mispal b'shlomo shel malchus, that a person has to respect the institution. You have to daven for the welfare. Got to give Obama credit. You know, he was very, on the stage said, he said afterwards, you know, this is a guy who vilified him, destroyed him, ripped him to shreds. I mean, didn't have any nice word to say about him, but he said, listen, won the election, president of the United States, now it's all about the United States. So we have to still have, even if we don't have respect for the person as an individual, we have to have respect for the institution of the presidency of the United States. We live here, we live in this country, and this country has laws that are based on respect, and we have to observe the laws of the country, and we have to have respect for the office of the presidency. Not necessarily for things that the individual person does badly, we don't have respect for that. But for the office of the presidency and for that in terms of an office, we still have to have respect for that, and we have to be very careful. And by the way, under Obama, a lot of people lost respect for the presidency, people who had problems with the way he was conducting himself. And I was always upset about that also. You can't have disrespect for the presidency. And that we daven, we say the prayer on Shabbos and Shul, we say in Shabbos, Hashem, watch over the president and the vice president, because we need these people. We need them to be functioning the right way. We have to have respect for that. Jews always have had respect for the institution. So I hope that we have to daven, like always, we have to daven that this will be l'tov for America, l'tov for Klal Yisrael, l'tov for each one of us, and let's hope that in the position, he ends up being somebody who helps out a lot of people, helps out the country, and grows as a person in the position, and not chas v'shalom lets it further get to his head. And the question is, how much more could it get to his head? But let it further get to his head and lead him down the wrong path.
And I want food.